Amen. When the Lord Jesus lived upon this earth, he met all kinds of people. He met the rich and the poor. He met the old and he met the young. He met the religious and he met with those who were not religious. The Pharisees were very religious people. They were that special group among the Jews who desired to follow God properly. They believed that they could please God by following many different rules. And their rules were based on the Old Testament, on the Ten Commandments, on the other regulations that were given to Moses. They gave tithes, that percentage of all that they owned, into the house of God. They fasted, they prayed often. They were very strict about the things that they would do and would not do on the Sabbath day. They wanted to be holy. They were very strict about the rules of their religion. They thought that they were better than everyone else. But they did not understand the true meaning of the Word of God, of the Old Testament. They created rules for themselves that God had not given. The Lord Jesus described the prayer of a Pharisee in Luke chapter 18. The Lord, giving this account of a Pharisee in Luke chapter 18, verse 11 and 12, he gives to us the prayer of a Pharisee. Luke 18, verse 11. The Pharisee stood and prayed thus with himself, "God, I thank thee, I am not as other men are, extortioners, unjust, adulterers, or even as this publican. I fast twice in the week. I give tithes of all that I possess." So they had their many rules and regulations, and many of the rules that they followed were good, but they did not understand and know the true meaning of salvation. They believed that their good works made them better than everyone else, and because they were better than everyone else, they thought they would be saved. The Pharisees were the enemies of the Lord. What an awful thing to be an enemy of Christ. They questioned him. They accused him. In the end, they called for him to be crucified. The Pharisees tried to stop people from following the Lord Jesus. If people wanted to publicly follow the Savior, the Pharisees would threaten them to cause them to turn away from Christ. We read of this in John chapter 12. John chapter 12, verse 42 and 43. John 12, 42 says, "Nevertheless, among the chief rulers also, many believed on him. But because of the Pharisees, they did not confess him, lest they should be put out of the synagogue, for they loved the praise of men more than the praise of God." And so the Pharisees rejected the Lord's teaching that we're saved only by the grace of God and not by our good works. They did not believe that the Lord Jesus was the Savior sent into the world because he was not like them. And often they argued with the Lord. And the Lord, he destroyed their arguments. He taught them the true meaning of the Old Testament. In Luke chapter 7, we read of one Pharisee, a man called Simon, who invited the Lord Jesus into his home. Verse 36, "And one of the Pharisees desired him that he would eat with him. And he, that is the Lord, went into the Pharisee's house and sat down to meat." This was unusual. Pharisees were not supposed to invite into their home those who were not Pharisees. We do not know why this Pharisee invited the Lord into his home, but we know that the Lord Jesus accepted his invitation. Even though the Pharisees were his enemies, the Lord was willing to give his time. He was willing to be with them to teach the truth to them. I'd like to think tonight about this visit, the Lord's visit to a Pharisee's home. The Lord's visit to a Pharisee's home. We have, first of all, the welcome that he received. The welcome that he received. As we've read, this Pharisee wanted the Lord to come and share a meal in his house, and this seemed a kind thing to do. And the Lord Jesus should be welcome in our homes. The things that are said and done there should welcome him. He should be honored. He should be worshipped in our homes. He should be welcome. The Lord provides for us all the food that we eat, and when we are eating, we should welcome his presence. We should thank him for his goodness. We should be willing to share with others what the Lord has provided for us if others are in need. And so it was good that this Pharisee welcomed the Lord to eat with him, but his welcome was not with a pure heart. Later, the Lord reminds Simon that when he entered his home, Simon did not give him basic hospitality. In verse 44, the Lord tells Simon that when he entered his home, Simon did not provide water for him to wash his feet. Travelers would often wear sandals, and a hot, dry land like Israel dust would cover their feet during a journey, and guests arriving at a home would be provided with water to wash the dust from their feet before they would eat. But the Lord Jesus, he was not given water to wash his feet in this home. In verse 45, the Lord tells Simon that when he entered his house, he did not receive a kiss. In Israel's culture, the kiss was a common form of greeting, of welcoming a guest, just like the way we shake hands. But Simon did not give the Lord this sincere welcome. The Lord also tells him, verse 46, that he did not anoint his head with oil. And anointing the guest with oil was a welcome. It was used on special occasions to confer a blessing upon the guest, but the Lord was not given this welcome by Simon. It indicates that Simon's welcome of the Lord was, at best, half-hearted. He welcomed the Lord into his home for his own reasons, not because he loved the Lord, not because he truly desired to serve the Lord. And while the Lord was a guest in Simon's home, we read that Simon was criticizing the Lord in his heart. Verse 39, "Now, when the Pharisee which had bidden him saw it, he spake within himself, saying, This man, if he were a prophet, would have known who and what manner of woman this is that toucheth him, for she is a sinner." It was a false welcome from a false heart. I wonder tonight, what welcome is there in your heart for Christ? Is it a welcome a bit like Simon's that looks good on the outside? You have the appearance of being Christ and of following him and of obeying him and of serving him, and yet in your heart there's no real welcome for him. No real desire to surrender your life to him. No real desire to leave your sin for him. No real welcome to Christ to come and take control, to be your master and your Lord and your God, and you would worship him from the heart. It's what's in the heart that matters. What welcome is in your heart for him tonight? This was a false welcome. It was a welcome on the outside, but in the inside, the heart was still corrupted and full of sin. And do not give such a welcome to Christ tonight, but give to him that full welcome, that sincere welcome, that welcome that surrenders your sin and leaves your sin and makes him Lord of all in your life. We have the welcome that he received, but as we think about the Lord visiting in this home of a Pharisee, we have, in the second place, the woman he forgave. The woman he forgave. There is this wonderful story of this lady who appears in Simon's home and who receives the forgiveness of sin. We read in verse 37, "And behold, a woman in the city, which was a sinner, when she knew that Jesus sat at meat in the Pharisee's house, brought an alabaster box of ointment." We read of her coming into Simon's home. As we think about this woman who was forgiven, we can think about her history. We are told that she lived in the same city. She heard the news that the Lord was in Simon's house, that he'd gone to share a meal there, and she comes to meet with the Lord, and we are told that she was a sinner. We're not told what type of sin she committed. She's described, however, in a way that reveals that she was a well-known sinner. Everyone in the city knew her reputation. She was known as a woman of poor moral conduct. She was a notorious sinner, a scandalous sinner. Simon the Pharisee, he knew that she was a sinner. Verse 39, he speaks of her and says that the Lord, if he knew who and what manner of woman she was, he wouldn't let her touch him. He knew that she was a sinner. Her reputation was known. The Lord himself says in verse 47 that her sins were many. Her life up until this point had not been good. It had not been holy. Her life had been full of disobedience and corruption. She was a sinner. She was a great sinner. And yet she met with the Savior. This lady, with her terrible history, this lady whose life was full of sin and corruption, she was forgiven by the Lord. Verse 48, we read those wonderful words of Christ to her, "Thy sins are forgiven." Verse 47, the Lord says to Simon, "Her sins, which are many, are forgiven." Her past was cleansed away. Her guilt was taken away. She was made righteous before God. She was cleansed from her sin. She received new life, and she received this because of the mercy of the Lord. She received this forgiveness because the Lord came into the world not to call the righteous, but sinners to repentance. She receive this great mercy because the Lord is the one who came seeking and saving the lost, the one who said, come unto me, all ye that labor under heavy laden, and I will give you rest. She received this forgiveness when she repented of her sin. If you look at verse 38, it tells us that she stood at his feet behind him, weeping. Her heart was broken over her sins. She knew that her sins were against God's holiness. She knew that she deserved hell for her sins. Her heart was turned. Her heart was broken and sad because of her sins. She knew what it was to truly repent of sin. And she believed on Christ as the only Savior of sinners. The Lord says to her in verse 50, those wonderful words, thy faith hath saved thee, go in peace. Through repentance and through faith in Christ, she had received peace into her heart. And there is forgiveness with God for the sinner who will repent and who will believe on the Lord Jesus Christ. Your history may be like this woman. You might have a history that is full of sins, terrible sins, notorious sins, scandalous sins, sins that make you known in this community as a sinner. And yet you can be saved this night. Repenting of sin, trusting in Christ, you can have this same wonderful experience that this woman had of sins forgiven and of peace with God. Your history may be like Simon's history, a history of self-righteousness and pride and good works and of looking good on the outside and yet still being a sinner on the inside. And yet the opportunity and the message is still the same, that when you repent and believe on Christ, there is forgiveness for you. As we think of this woman that the Lord forgive, we have her history, that history of sin that was cleansed away through Christ the Savior. We also have her love. Her love. This woman had great love for the Lord because of his great mercy to her. Her love is seen really from the very beginning. She came into the Pharisee's house. This was a difficult thing for her to do. The Pharisees despised those who did not follow their rules. They were self-righteous. They thought that all others were sinners. We read in verse 39 of how Simon, when he saw her, he despised her. In his heart, he said, this man, if he were a prophet, would have known who and what manner of woman this is that toucheth him, for she is a sinner. But even though she was despised, even though she knew she would face shame and ridicule, she knew she must get to Christ. And then she came into that home. She brought with her that alabaster box of ointment, as we're told in verse 37, something that was valuable. Something that was expensive and precious, something that was used as a way of welcoming and giving kindness to a loved one. She brings this ointment and she comes to the Lord's feet. She was humble. She does not come directly before him, but we're told that she stands behind him at his feet and she cries. And in her brokenness, her tears fall down. And she washes his feet with her tears. And then she uses her hair to wipe his feet. And then having washed his feet and having wiped his feet, she anoints him with the ointment. And what love she had for the Lord. The Lord says to her in verse 47, for she loved much. The Lord had forgiven her sins. He had saved her soul and she loved him much for what he had done for her. She had been changed by the grace of God. She no longer loved her sins. She no longer loved her old life, but now she loved the Savior. And in her love, she publicly identifies with him as her Savior. She was not ashamed to go into the house of the Savior's enemy and be identified with the Lord and show her love for him. There was no love in Simon's heart for the Lord. His heart was full of bitterness and rejection and criticism. And I wonder, do you have any love for Christ tonight? What we love tells us who and what we really are. Those of us who are saved, what great love we should have for the Savior, for what he has done for us. He loved us first. He loved us when we were unlovable in our sins. He loved us when we were far away and undeserving, and indeed deserving only of hell. He has given us life. He's cleansed our sins through his blood. He has saved us from hell. He deserves our great love. As the hymn writer put it, love so amazing, so divine, demands my soul, my life, my all. I wonder, do you love him today? Have you surrendered your heart to him? Or perhaps there's one here and there's no love in your heart for the Savior. Today you still love your sin. Today you still love going your own way. You still love your own religion and your own good works and all it is that you think and plan to do yourself, and you have no love for Christ, no desire to leave your sin for Him, no desire to surrender your heart to Him. And the fact that you have no love for Him proves that you're still guilty, you're still lost, you're still heading out to hell. What we love tells us what we really are in our hearts. This lady, she loved the Lord because He had saved her, because He had transformed her life forever. We have the welcome that the Lord received in this home. We have the woman that He forgave. And then in the third place, we have the lessons that He taught. The lessons that He taught. As the Lord continued speaking, He taught a lesson about God's free salvation. About God's free salvation. As we've noticed in verse 39, when Simon saw this woman crying over the Lord and washing His feet, he condemned the Lord in his heart. He thought to himself, if this man was truly a prophet, he would know about this woman's sinful life. He would not let her touch him or be near to him. Of course, the Lord Jesus is the great prophet. But He is so much more than the great prophet. He is God. And not only did He know all about this woman and all about her history, but He also knew what Simon was thinking just at that very moment. Just as the Lord knows what you and I are thinking just at this very moment. And just as that moment, as He knew Simon's thought, He had something to say to him. Just as He has something now to say to us. Verse 40, and Jesus answering said unto him, Simon, I have somewhat to say unto thee. And he saith, Master, say on. Verse 41, there was a certain creditor which had two debtors. The one owed 500 pence and the other 50. And when they had nothing to pay, He frankly forgave them both. Tell me therefore which of them will love Him most. The Lord tells them about two people. And they both owed debt. One of them owed a very large debt. The other one owed a smaller debt. One owed 10 times more than the other. But they were both in the same predicament because neither could pay the debt that they owed. They had nothing with which to pay their debt. And then we are told that the man that they were in debt to, He forgave them both. And the lesson is that God's salvation is free. In this story that the Lord told, neither person could pay their debt. And no sinner can pay his or her debt to God. No one can make themselves right before God by being religious or by doing good works or anything that we say or do or think. There's nothing we can do to pay our debt to God. There's some who commit many sins. There's some who commit great sins, those scandalous, those notorious sins. There's some who live outwardly a better life than others, more moral, more respectable. There's some like Simon the Pharisee. His life was religious, his life was moral, but he was still a sinner. His heart was still full of pride and hypocrisy and unbelief. And even though he thought he was good, he was still a sinner in debt to God. And he could not save himself. There was nothing he could do to pay his debt. As the Bible tells us, for all have sinned and come short of the glory of God. And all sinners are in debt to God, with nothing with which to pay that debt. And God demands payment for sin. We have nothing to pay our debt to God. And yet God's holiness and justice demands that payment is made. We have nothing to pay unless someone stands in our place and pays for us. And if we do not have a Savior, and if we do not have our debt paid in this life, then one day you go out into eternity with your debt uncleared, and God will require of you that your debt is paid. And in hell, the sinner pays his debt to God. And in the countless ages of eternity, sinners in hell are forever paying their debt, and the debt is never paid. The debt is never cleared, because your sin is a sin against an infinite and a holy and an eternal God, and eternity in hell can never exhaust the debt that you owe to God. Forever in hell, suffering and paying the debt owed to God, and that debt never, ever being cleared. There's only one who can pay your debt, and that one is Christ. He paid for sins when He died on the cross. His blood alone, that precious, sinless, spotless blood, given as a sacrifice to God the Father, it alone can clear the debt and give us peace with God. And when a sinner repents of sin and trusts in Christ and believes on Him and believes on His blood to forgive their sin, then their debt to God is paid. Their sin is cleansed away. They're given a right standing before God. Their debt and their sin, which was great, is taken away. Only Christ can clear the debt of sin, set the sinner free. Simon the Pharisee, he thought he was right before God. He didn't think he had any debt. He thought he was a good person, and because of that he was not saved. Because of that he did not trust in Christ. His debt may not have been as great as the woman's debt. His sins may not have been as vile and as corrupt and as notorious and as scandalous as her sins. Her sins may have been more than his. But because she saw her need, because she realized she had nothing with which to pay her debt, because she surrendered to Christ, her debt was cleared. His debt remained. He remained a sinner in debt to God, going out to hell. And God's salvation is free. There's nothing we can do to earn it. There's nothing we can do to pay for our salvation, but Christ alone clears the debt of those who know that they are in debt and they have nothing with which to pay. Remember tonight that you cannot trust in your good works or church association or anything that you do. But we are saved through grace alone, through faith in Christ alone, the one who alone can clear our debt to God. The Savior spoke of God's free salvation, but he also taught about the way to increase our love. There's a lesson here for those who are saved about the way to increase our love for Christ. The Lord asked Simon in verse 42, which of the two debtors will love the creditor most, who has forgiven them their debts and cancelled it? Verse 43, Simon answered and said, I suppose that he to whom he forgave most. He said unto him, thou hast rightly judged. The Lord goes on then to apply what Simon has said to the case of this woman that is before him. Verse 44, seest thou this woman? I entered into thine house, thou gavest me no water for my feet, but she hath washed my feet with tears and wiped them with the hairs of her head. Thou gavest me no kiss, but this woman, since the time I came in, hath not ceased to kiss my feet. My head with oil thou didst not anoint, but this woman hath anointed my feet with ointment. Wherefore I say unto thee, her sins, which are many, are forgiven. For she loved much, but to whom little is forgiven, the same loveth little. And there is an important lesson for the Lord's people here. We should love the Lord and live for him, because he has forgiven our sins. And we will love him more the more we understand how terrible and how vile and filthy our sins are, and how great his mercy has been to us. Sin is a terrible thing. It is rebellion against God. Sin kills, sin destroys, sin corrupts, sin brings glory to the devil. And so we should consider in our hearts the great debt that we owe to God. Before we knew the mercy of God through Christ, we think of all of our sins, the sins that we do outwardly, the deceitful sins of our hearts, the sins that we committed before we were saved, the sins that we commit every day as the Lord's people. All our sins combined make up our great debt that we owe to God. And how great is that debt? And Christ has paid it all through his precious blood. And today we owe our life, our hope, our eternal peace to him. Everything that we have and are today, we have through the grace of God and through our Savior's blood. And we should love him, the one who has done so much for us. If we have little understanding of our sin and of the debt that we owe to God, we'll have little love for the Savior. But maybe think of what he has done for us. Maybe think of the greatness of that debt that he has cleared away. May God's word teach us the great price that was paid for our salvation. May we be reminded again of the exceeding sinfulness of our sin. And may in our hearts we know that we have been forgiven much. And so may we love him much in return. Each one of us who are saved tonight, we can say, I have been forgiven much. And does he not deserve us then to love him much? To love him with all of our heart and our soul, our strength. What a difference such a love will make in our lives. What a difference such a love will make in our homes and in our community. How different will our lives be for him if we love him much, knowing that we have been forgiven much. If you're not saved tonight, your sins are many. It may be that there are other people whose sins are even more than yours, but your sins are many. You have a great debt you cannot pay to God, a debt that is taking you out to hell, a debt that means you deserve to be in hell already. Yet we have been speaking of the Savior's great love for sinners undone and unclean and without hope. And his love is compelling love. It is drawing love. It is your only hope. And so, like this woman, may you lay everything at his feet. May you give it all away, heart and life and soul, everything to Christ, knowing that in him alone you have salvation, in him alone you can have peace, through him alone you can be forgiven. May you not turn away from him in hardness and in self-righteousness as Simon did, but may you surrender all. May you hear those blessed words to your heart, thy faith has saved thee. Go in peace. Amen.